It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. He's won a Super Bowl three times, and we are in the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay for, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water. We got a line of people right in front of us ready to go in. Oh, nice. Can you all hear me? Can any of you hear me? Oh, hell yeah. All right. Maybe we'll finally get a win today.
Actually, Red Sox fans, too. That's rare.
I know. It's you're right. It's usually the other club. That's right. But today we got real. Oh, we got a Cubs guy. Yeah. All right. There you go. Once again, the best is when people like show up for the other team and they're like dressed like it was a dude from the Astros. Yeah, and he had this huge like headdress and this big like thing and like spaceships hanging from him. Like, you don't have to go that hard. The Red Sox aren't very good.
Take it easy on us, Kevin.
You're probably going to kick their ass. All right. A couple things real quick. Let's get a quick update from Noah, our intern. Noah has been given the task of, I told him that if he could get Theo Epstein on the show by 5:30, then I was going to get him a gift certificate for two over at Grill 23. He said he's a big fan of steak restaurants. I just said, you know what? Grill 23 is a great one. Give me an update there. Noah, how you doing?
Yeah, so a little update. I was, right as you said that, I was calling a different number that I thought potentially would be Theo's, but I got on the phone with his brother, Paul.
Okay, Paul Epstein, yes.
Paul said he was going to let him know that I was hoping he would call into the show, and we have not gotten an update yet, but I'm going to keep trying to find some numbers.
I love it, Noah. Hey, that's doing the work. Excellent. Big things can happen. I'm telling you. I'm feeling it. By 5:30, you're going to have him on here. We're all rooting for you.
Let's just have Paul on. I mean, let's hire him as the GM.
Is he the Cooper Epstein?
Annie Epstein.
Is he the one who has the burgers? He's the Wahlberg one?
I think he's a soccer coach at Brookline High, or was, but that's good enough for me.
I'll take it. Doesn't he have a twin?
Yeah, that's his twin.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. I've actually seen him around. I thought it was him. All right, real quick, let's go to Paul from Rhode Island. Paul, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thank you, Teddy. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Rich. Listen, we've been crying poverty for 6 years, and now we spent the money for a wide receiver, a top five wide receiver. I mean, you're jipping the fan. Going to the AFC and maybe lose to Buffalo in the AFC, like I predicted last year. But that didn't happen.
Paul, I'm sorry, Paul. Are you saying that why are they not willing to spend the money on Gonzalez? Is that what you're worried about? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You never spend this kind of money before, and now you have a token that you went to the Super Bowl with the easy path. You did not make that easy path. The NFL made that easy path when you're 3-14 or 4-4. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the only team that had that path. There's other teams that won Super Bowls, maybe two or three, with that path.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, right. I mean, I just think they're in a unique situation where you can put all the chips in the center of the table. I mean, I know it's going to be expensive when they have to pay Drake, but right now, to let Christian Gonzalez walk, especially a team that needs as much positive PR as they can. You mentioned something, though, Ted, that you said that you believe that for Christian Gonzalez, you could get two first-rounders.
If you can get two first-round draft picks, I think that would be hard for me to kind of, I don't know, shy away from.
That's the Sauce Gardner return. I mean, yeah. That's kind of been established.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The Jets got two first-rounders for Sauce. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't want a first-rounder in 2028 because supposedly that's really like a second-rounder. So, you know, it's there's not an easy answer. I just think it's just very interesting what's the Patriots historically. They don't like to do deals like this.
Now, Elliot Wolf was asked this question. Jory Epstein of Yahoo Sports talked to Elliot Wolf, Pat's GM, asked about Drake May's contract. He says, quote, "That's our number one priority. Obviously, we have others, but that's our number one. I think it gives you some advantages, especially as we were restocking in free agency last year. We spent the most money in the league, and then again this year, we kind of went heavy again. That's not necessarily sustainable, especially when we have guys like Gonzalez and Drake coming down the pipe here."
Mm-hmm.
So he does mention Gonzalez by name as a priority. So that's good. It's just, to what extent are you willing to go if the agent's asking for $40 million plus?
Yeah, and a lot of people think that they're waiting to see what Devin Witherspoon makes before they do anything. So, man, if they don't get this deal done before the end of the summer, before the season starts, then I'm just worried. I'm worried what's going to happen. You don't want – is Christian Gonzalez not going to come in for training camp until the very end of the camp, and then you,
so how's
you open
work?
Up with the Seattle Seahawks.
Like, does he tell his agent I want it done before camp, or does he doesn't care? He doesn't care if he misses training camp.
He probably doesn't care because he's looking for the most money. But you know, you don't if you say you put a time limit on it, well then you might not get the money that you want.
Right.
So my guess is he's going to say, do whatever you got to do to get me what I want. Yeah, he wouldn't be holding up the money sign at a Celtics game if that's not front and center on his mind right now.
All right, I don't mean to drastically pivot, but I've been dying to show this.
Yeah, what is this?
All right. The Red Sox, they got some balls on them, I'll say that. They just put out on their social media a graphic, and the caption above it is, All-star voting is officially open.
Well,
vote Red Sox. I would like, Ted, for you to take a look at this graphic right here that they have.
Let me see the graphic.
See, yeah.
On the graphic, Trevor Story,
yep.
Roman Anthony,
both out.
Garrett Crochet,
he's out, yep.
And Caleb Durbin.
Caleb Durbin, baby.
Oh, hey, you know, Durbin's coming around. Lorenzo got him fixed.
Marcelo hitting 222 was on there.
You know?
They don't even have Tolley or Early on there.
Jaren Duran.
Like, yeah, where's Tolley and Early? Like, good question.
Tolley and Early not on there.
Well, I guess maybe you can't vote for Pitt.
They put a bunch of guys that are injured and Caleb Durbin on their ad for the All-Star vote. What are they smoking?
Yeah, they have to, though.
Oh, the clankers on the Red Sox to do that.
Well, you have to put out your starter. Is like you have to put. They'll put your representative.
Not if he's injured. Not if he's been injured for most of the season.
Well,
this is just. It's they're doing this as a joke, right? This is some sort of like Andy Kaufman meta humor.
They're probably required by MLB to put this.
Yeah, they might. And they're appeasing maybe those guys too, right? If you don't put them on there,
then put on Tolley. Then put on Early. Put on guys who.
No, but you can't vote for the pitchers. Those are selected by.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I guess whatever. That's right. But, well, I mean, why do they have Crochet on here?
They did have Crochet on there. Yep.
Oh, they do?
They do.
Yeah, they do. Yep. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is really bad. I the comments are, of course, exactly what you think.
I mean, the Patriots put out, you know, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out
well,
there.
Well, I mean, so, we got to make sure they don't put out a Happy Father's Day message. Yeah, like, right. That might backfire pretty bad.
I think that's what teams do, but I get your point. Not the best look for that right now.
No!
Wilson Contreras, he's a good...
Okay.
He's worthy of some first base...
Sure, guys. Sure. Yeah, you got that. And then what else are you doing?
It probably just have been him.
Chapman? Yeah. Even though they're putting him in just because he needs time? Like, you know, like the other day, they didn't even need to play, but they had to put him in because he hasn't been in a closing situation lately.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is just the guts on the Red Sox.
And they're only four games back in the wild card, Richard.
Only sure. Four games.
Only four games back.
Hey, what do you guys think of the answer to you asked Trent Chasey why he was late, and he just some meetings went like. Do you believe him? Do you buy him?
I think there was something. I honestly think there was something that sounded like there was a meeting. Either it was a team meeting or it was a meeting with one of the players.
We're gonna replay that at 5. Is that
yep.
The Chad Tracy interview we had? He was supposed to come on at 2:15, and he bumped us two segments. Later, so closer to 3, and so we asked, or Rich asked.
What if Tracy went in and the chief baseball officer was like tied up, duct tape in the corner, like hanging by his feet, you know, and he was trying to have to get him down?
Listen, I mean, the Red Sox, they're kind of a machine, and Tracy usually shows up on time, but it was like a 30-minute delay. We kept getting texts saying he's caught up with something, and it was the first question I asked him. I'm like, should I read into any reason why you're 30 minutes late?
Team bonding. The Spurs went to see Obsession, right? So maybe a little team bonding yes, activity. They were late. Right.
That way, maybe they were making this awesome All-Star ballot picture on Canva while they were doing that. Just trying to, you know what? Hey, get me all the players who haven't been playing, and then put Caleb Durbin on there. Make sure Caleb Durbin's on
Why
the All-Star
is Caleb
ballot.
Durbin on there?
I can't.
Dude,
tell
I don't
who.
Know.
I mean,
that's the one where I'm like, huh?
Yeah, and Roman Anthony. Like, and the guy's hardly played.
Seriously.
This is really funny. Like this
team leader had a good spring. Well, baseball classic.
I guess so. All right. Well, 617-779-7937. You know what? How about this? We should actually start a campaign just to see how powerful our show is to put Caleb Durbin in the All-Star game.
That would be awesome.
Let's do that. I'm voting right now. Caleb Durbin for All-Star. Let's see if we can get him in there. Listen, they told us to. The ad said to put Caleb Durbin in there. Why not do it? All right, we will take your calls now. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirt and Leave, Ken Laird, 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and they are letting the crowd in now. It is truly a beautiful, beautiful afternoon here at Fenway Park.
The bad news is they're letting the crowd. These poor people.
Well, listen, I you know, as I said, you hope they turn this thing around, and Chad Tracy just seems... he seems sincere, and he's in a weird spot, man. I mean, imagine being like where he was, you know, at the beginning of the season, not knowing any of this was going to happen, and you get thrown into this whole situation. And he's been handling it well, you know, to get...
Yeah, I mean, well, he's 15-17, so record-wise, slightly better than Cora. But he's made, like, the changes he can. He's put Gasper in at catcher. He put Duran in the leadoff spot. They've made some slight improvements with the offense. But he's got to be excited, as I am, about this Buster Olney right-handed bat report. Like,
yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that. All right, so let's talk about something that truly is exciting, and that is tonight... The NBA Finals starts, and I'll be honest, this is one I'm really looking forward to. This seems like it could be a fun one.
But you're rooting for New York.
I am. I don't think New York's going to win. I think it's Spurs in six, but I think that if the Knicks win, it's going to be so humiliating for the Celtics that they will be forced to do some sort of massive overhaul or change, because we cannot go back to what we saw at the end of this past season. I can't take that kind of basketball, chucking up threes over and over again, not having some sort of big man down below. It just is. If the Knicks win, it is going to be, it's going to be earth shaking around the Boston Celtics. Or if it's not, then it says something about this team, because that should piss you off.
I mean, it's a worse look for the Celtics, I think, if the Knicks win, because yep. It felt like, you know, the Celtics were a better team than the Knicks all season long. I mean, that's what it looked like. I know they got beat by the Knicks last year, but nobody thought the Knicks should have beat the Celtics last year. So I just think, man, what a the Knicks win. It was, I mean, I don't, a lot of people might look at the Knicks the same way they looked at the Celtics in 2024. It was an easy path. They had an easy path. That, you know, the Cavaliers, they weren't really, I mean, they weren't legit contenders. And the Celtics didn't have Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could see maybe teams kind of taking the shine off of the Knicks if they, but the Spurs.
Spurs are better than the Mavs.
I mean, they were.
The Celtics team.
Yeah, but they were also a lottery team last year, too. I mean, they were not the best team last year. And look, I don't know if I look at the Spurs and go, oh, this is an all-time great team.
They do have Luke Kornet. I mean.
That's my guy.
The murder Kornet.
They do, right. I don't know. I'm excited to see this. I don't have a good feel on how it's going to go, but I don't think it's as much of a layup for the Spurs as people think.
I'm hoping for maximum Knicks pain, so I don't know whether that's a straight sweep or Knicks win tonight and the whole city gets way out over their skis and then lose in five. Just gentlemen sweep. Eliminated on the court in Madison Square Garden would be awesome, though.
Did I see it correctly that the Spurs are the first team in, like, NBA history that has all five players on rookie contracts, all five starters?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, that's – imagine if they win.
They've been a lottery team for the last 5 years.
Yeah. So if they win –
Castle.
So, and I know everyone says this every year.
Dylan Harper.
And it's been great because the last 8 years – including this one, it's going to be a different champion. Like, there hasn't been any dynasty that has taken off. I mean, it seems like Golden State was the last team to do anything like that. It's been 8 years in a row where you have a different champion now that Oklahoma City has lost. So, but when you have a team that wins and your team is that young and everyone's on a rookie contract,
yeah,
that reeks of dynasty. Like, that says to me...
Is Wemby to be trusted, though? You get these big men that are...
I don't know.
Is he fragile? He's
been a freak so far, but you're right. Every big man seems to break down.
Gun to the head, I'd say I'd bet against it. Gun to the head.
Against the dynasty. This
against
will not
the
be
dynasty a, because yeah. because of Wemby. Yeah, I don't think... His health is just... It's just not... You're not going to convince me that he'll stay healthy for... for guys that size... usually end up breaking down pretty quickly in their career.
You know, there is a tendency for some players who play, you know, in different generations to kind of wag their finger at a younger generation and say, well, you're not doing it the way we did, so it's not right. But I do love when Kevin Garnett comments on modern basketball players because he's fair. And in this case, I want to get, Ted, I want to get your opinion on this, and you too, Ken. This was something that I heard where he's talking about Wembanyama. Everyone recognizes Wembanyama is a generational talent. The guy is obviously fantastic and can do things that we haven't seen a guy his size can do. But Kevin Garnett said something that I thought was pretty funny. Let's let it play.
Crying in motherfucking Western Conference Finals. That was too emotional for that to be. That was too emotional for me.
It was?
He got four more games to try to get. You got to go through the finals now. Nah, you still got to be even keeled right here. And that trophy, that ain't what we, that's cool. Yeah, we beat them, cool. But I got a whole nother sight, and it's up here. It's going to take my energy to run up this hill. I can't be, nah, that's how bad they wanted to beat OKC. You know what I'm saying? But, man, this right here, nah. And then to me, this is the Knicks' only window I see. They got to get it right now. I'm talking about, you got no Boston on here. You got no OKC. You got to go now. You got to go now.
So the Knicks are on an 11-game win streak right now, and they have the best point differential ever in the playoffs. So they're smashing teams.
No, they are, but I don't want to get fool's gold.
Okay, so it was the first
middle part. Middle of the mall, fool's gold.
Tony.
That's where we got all of a
so
sudden.
So he agrees with me then.
Okay. So the first part of that clip was the part that I found the best.
That was great.
Was where he said, why are you crying? It is a Western Conference of Finals. Like you won the Western Conference and you're crying.
In Wemby's defense, we all said it was the NBA Finals, so maybe he's like confused. He maybe thought that they did win.
Maybe that was the case. Ted, what do you... Do you think that, can you excuse Wembanyama for getting emotional after winning the Western Conference Finals? Or is Kevin Garnett right in saying that, come on, man, you haven't won anything
yet?
Did
you cry when you beat the Raiders?
No, I did not. I did not. I cried when we beat the Rams.
Oh.
Yeah. I cried. I cried two times in my life, losing to the Nebraska my senior year and then beating the Rams. But I didn't. Come on. I mean, we felt like we were a better team than the Raiders. And that's snowball, is that what you're talking about? No.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I like about Wemby? I feel like he cares. I just like a guy that cares.
I do too.
All right, he didn't cry at his mom's arm. All right, arms like he, Caleb, you know, like Caleb Williams. But so that's a little different. He just he's excited. I read a story about him going over to, I don't know, I think it was Tibet this offseason, and he put a lot of work into his, I don't know, just his mental part of his game and his physical part of his game. So. For him to just get to the big dance, I can see that being – I want my guys caring that much. So I'm not going to knock points off of him for crying just getting to the finals.
I'm also going to give him some grace because of the way that they won it. Like, it was a game seven, extremely tight until the very end. I know how on the road, I know how emotional that can be, and it probably just overtook him at that moment. Like, this wasn't a – they won it in six, and it was a blowout, and he cried, and like, I can't believe I won the Western Conference. That was a, man, I couldn't sleep all night. This is game seven. It means everything to me, and you didn't know that you had escaped with a victory until the very end of that game, until maybe like 2 minutes left. You thought that it was still up in the air. So in that case, I'm going to give him some grace.
No credit for Cornette. You should have given him credit for the block. That was the signature
that was
block awesome of the fourth.
Block. That's
that was what
great.
I wanted to hear.
Cornette, man, he's the big man.
I love him.
He's the LeBron James of big men right now.
who you want, Nia Muscata or Cornette?
Ooh,
who would you take?
I like them both, but if I could only choose one, Cornette.
Cornette, too.
Yeah. One has been in three of the last five finals, and that is Luke Cornette. Yep. Three of the last five finals, that guy.
How could you root against him and root for the Knicks? You have to be pulling for the Spurs.
I'm telling you, I think the Spurs are going to win, and I think it's cool that the Spurs are there. I'm such a Celtics fan that I want, however this outcome turns out, to be the best for change for the Celtics, and that is for them to be humiliated by the Knicks winning.
Like, you think Brad is watching the series, and he's going to make a determination on what he does based on the outcome of the series.
He better. You bet your ass he better. If he took a look and saw that there was a team in their own division that dominated Wembanyama, you bet your ass I'm making some sort of draft.
But he already knows he's got a problem with his rim protection. He already knows that.
He does.
I don't think he needs to see this series.
He's pissed. He already told us he's pissed.
Oh, you did. I'm
pissed.
I know you guys ignore my Giannis updates, which come daily on the text thread, but
not anymore. At first, I did. At first,
Sam Amick, yet again in the Athletic. While league sources have maintained Giannis is interested in the Heat, there are also indications he's very intrigued with the prospect of joining a Celtics team that is deeper and more dynamic than Miami's and could thus remain more competitive after a blockbuster deal.
Yep. I'm hearing that, but I'm also hearing that the Celtics aren't interested in Giannis.
Yes,
that's
Bill
the other
Simmons
part.
Is saying that, so that's a little worrisome.
So,
but
I could see them kind of seeing that.
If you want change, Rich, if the Knicks win and that'll force their hand to do something big.
Yeah.
Like, they're now interested in, like, maybe the Pelicans. I've seen that out there.
Sure.
Great Jalen in New Orleans. I mean, are you looking for something else? You don't like Giannis. You're looking for another shakeup.
I didn't say I don't like Giannis. I would prefer, obviously, they could figure out a way to have Jalen and Jason both stay here and Giannis be here. But that most likely wouldn't happen. But, you know, to be honest, I'm now at the point where if you got rid of Jalen and you brought in Giannis, I would probably be like, okay, cool. you know what? It's something different.
And then,
sure.
And then LeBron.
Let's go.
Then the LeBron.
And LeBron. And of course, LeBron. I do not have my LeBron.
Who's going to take a pay cut, right? He's going to take league minimum?
Yeah. No, because everyone's freaking out that they're saying, hey, so-and-so can give him the $15 million veteran exception. So can the Celtics, apparently. They can afford to give him $15 million.
Yeah, but he wants 50. Well, probably.
No, come on, dude. You're not LeBron anymore. You're kind of LeBron light.
You manage the Red Sox. You're already part owner. Come
sure.
on over in.
Why not? Come on over. Listen, if you want something that needs to be shaken up, how about those Red Sox? Except for that all-star ballot in which you could vote for Caleb Durbin. He's right there on the poster. All right.
Can we get a vote? Can you like?
I already voted.
Oh, so you got one.
Caleb Durbin got one. At least one for me. So, you know, if he's there, you can thank me. All right. 617-779-7937. When we get back, our own Dale Ordway on the street getting the pulse of the Red Sox fans after a somewhat humiliating loss, except this time he's not Mr. Dale Ordway. He may have possibly disguised himself as a certain owner for your Boston Red Sox. We will do that when we get back. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson right here at Fenway Park. It is a absolutely gorgeous day. Hopefully the product inside the stadium will not be as depressing as it has been lately. As
they always win game two. Game two, they're strong.
Yeah.
They can't win a rubber match, and they can't win the opener.
That's right. And Tolley's on the mound tonight, right?
And we got Tolley night.
Here we go. Now, that's a guy that should have been on that little all-star deal that was.
Yeah, but you can't vote for the pitchers.
I know, but still, they put Caleb Durbin on there, which is very strange.
He's your third baseman. You got to put a representative from each position. Well, who else would they put on?
You don't have to do that. But, you know, put Aroldis Chapman on there. You know, maybe Contreras. There's other people you could have put on there. They put Story and Roman Anthony, like two people who've like been injured. They put them on there. How funny would it be?
It's to appease those guys, though. I think. I think they, you know, if Crochet wasn't, Crochet is on there.
Yeah. Make him feel good. It'll perk me up.
Yeah.
This might turn the corner.
This is what we think of you, man. I'm going to put you on the all-star ballot here.
Be an all-star even though you've rarely played. All right. So this is a team that obviously has been struggling. We talked to Trad Tracy. You can hear some of that stuff here in just a few. They've only won 9 games at home, which is truly absurd that it's June 3rd and they've only won 9 games, especially in a hitter's ballpark like this. It really is. The math doesn't work. It's the worst that they've played at home since 1932.
Correct.
Did I get that right?
Can I give you one more little stat nug
for
that?
What's that?
Since Chad Tracy took over as interim manager back on April 25th, the Red Sox have not won a single game at Fenway Park in which the opponent has scored more than one run.
Jeez. Oh, really?
That's true.
That is what I'm reading. Yep. Yikes. Yep, yep, yep.
Well, they have lost, 12 of the last 15 at home, so that makes sense. They're 3-12 in their last 15 games, so that's amazing.
But his record is better. Like, Chad Tracy's record is better than Cora's, though.
From overall.
Yes. Overall. Yes. Okay. Yep. I mean, they've been okay on the road, but nonetheless, it is. There's questions about what do you do? Like, what do you do with this team? How do you fix it? Who could you even talk to? Well, what if the owner of your own Boston Red Sox was just standing right outside the game? And how do you know it's the owner? It's because he's carrying a giant sign that says, what does that say there, Ted?
I'm John Henry. Tell me what you think of my team.
That's right. So our own Dale Ordway, a.k.a. Jackson on the show, yesterday went outside after the horrible loss right out here on the Lansdowne and held up his sign that says, I'm John Henry. Tell me what you think of my team. And if you've ever seen Jackson, dead ringer for John Henry. Looks exactly like
him.
I
think so.
I mean, there's not even a question. Sounds just like him, too, when he talks. And can I get a little John Henry music there, Stiz? Can I hear a little something here? Oh, I used to crank this when I would cruise for chicks back in the day. Out of the old Model T. Oh, Jeeves, please. Where is the umbrella? The sun I shall melt. Okay, so here is our own Dale Ordway out on the streets as John Henry holding up a sign that says, tell me what you think of my team. Let's see what the reaction
Wait,
is.
Can I just make a so when I do the John Henry impression, it's really hard to do it loud because John Henry's very quiet and he whispers like this.
Sure.
So I might get a little bit loud at some points and it might not sound, you know, John Henry-ish, but I looked like him. So that was, you know.
You do. You look exactly like him. If John Henry was UConn Cornelius. Let's take a listen.
Hello, I'm John Henry.
Exactly.
Middle fingers I got. Anybody want to say anything to John Henry?
That's John Henry.
Hey, I'm John Henry. Do you have any questions for me?
You're welcome, bro. You beat the f*** out of me? I didn't even do it. I didn't even do anything to you. Chill out, man.
Okay.
Anybody have any words for John Henry? What do you think about the team?
John Henry. John Henry.
Okay. What do you think of my team? My name's John Henry.
John Henry.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think of my team.
Hey, you guys. I'm John Henry. What do you guys think of my team?
I got. Stop, stop. The guy just read your sign and said, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Tell me what you think of my team.
You're getting guys coming out of the game. They had to be four or five deep, at least.
I mean, like, right away, some guy threatened to kick his ass. Yeah. I mean, the guy's just holding a sign. I mean, let's just kind of step away from the absurdity of it all. I mean, Jackson's just a guy holding a sign and someone threatened to kick his ass.
Boy, yeah, look, guy, just like that guy was kind of, yeah, he was kind of messed up. But I did see him, like, a half an hour later, and he apologized.
Oh, so he's really? So he was one of these guys just milling around, and a half hour later you ran into him again?
No, he's one of the guys that sits on the bridge and begs for money.
Oh, well,
he's a homeless guy.
Okay, well, that's that puts a whole different angle on it.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't know. You know, he just.
I thought that was a fan who was coming out. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's not the.
He didn't like my nonsense at first, but then he goes, "No, I'm sorry, man. I was just in a bad mood." I'm like, "All right, cool."
So that's what you're asking.
Jackson gave him a cigarette, and he softened up.
Yes, I did. Yes,
of course, yes. All right, let's get.
What do you think of my team? My name's John Henry.
John Henry.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think of my team.
Hey, you guys, I'm John Henry. What do you guys think of my team tomorrow morning?
Shout out WEEI, man.
All right, tomorrow afternoon, sorry.
Shout out WEED, man.
I think that John Henry needs to focus less
Stop. First of all, thank you for the shout out to our station, but then thank you for the shout out to WEED. WEED. Get it? WEED thanks you. WEED sends the shout out right back to you, as a matter of fact. Let's let it roll.
I think that John Henry needs to focus less on what ply his toilet paper is and more on hiring some good players.
Who's got something to say to John Henry?
This is a sign.
Yeah, that's a sign.
You're John Henry?
I'm John Henry.
Where's your sign?
John Henry.
I'm John Henry. Tell me what you think of my team. I love it.
John Henry, you are a fantastic businessman. I love what you're doing with Liverpool. Obviously, we didn't have a great season this past year in the Premier League. I would invest more money in the Red Sox, right? Lifetime Boston fan here. Focus on one or the other. I'm not going to hate on you like a lot of other Boston fans, but I think that you got to prioritize yourself into spending a lot of money into either team so that they can excel and not be mediocre in both. Thank you.
I think that guy's an idiot.
Okay.
I think John Henry, he fired the guy after 2018, after he won the World Series. What are we doing? He has no idea what he's doing with the team. I think Breslow is a terrible hire. He tried to recreate the nerd GM that he's trying to get with analytics. I think it's disrespectful to the Red Sox organization and the fans, which has been a historic part of Boston for 100 years.
I am John Henry, and I don't appreciate your words.
Yeah, I mean, John Henry, you're a rich guy. I mean, you could do whatever you want to me. You could probably send a hitman to come kill me, but I don't care. You're f***ing my team, and I don't really give a f***. I mean, let's go.
Wow. I like how the one guy was like kind of nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you did a good job with Liverpool. You know, I wish you did better with this, but you know, you're an all right guy. The guy goes, that guy's an idiot.
Steps right in front of us. You know, he just fired the manager of Liverpool, right? Or the coach.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They just fired him after he won the whole thing last year.
All kind of changes.
Well, yeah. And then I like the girl that also was like, talking about toilet paper. Do they not have good toilet paper here?
I guess not. She likes the two ply. That's the soft stuff. All right. Well, Dale Ordway, excellent job.
Nice job, Jack.
I think that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, that's right. Just like he steps right in front of that dude. He goes, yeah, that guy's a moron. Don't even listen to him.
I'll be on again at some point.
Well, I'm sorry you got sworn at so much.
That's all right.
Didn't know people were so angry.
Well, people don't like John Henry, except for the people that didn't know him. People in Red Sox jerseys were like, who's that?
that's not good.
That's pretty funny. I mean, it is a testament to how little he is now out in front of the press. I mean, what is it? When was the last time? Was it
6 years, I think.
Well, as you pointed out, winter weekend at Fenway Fest in Springfield, he was out on the dais. But in terms of like him speaking directly to reporters, it's been a long time.
Well, the winter weekend one was, I still think that was the most hysterical because there were all of these clips that were coming out from people with phones who, whenever John Henry would speak, there would be these merciless boos. And like, it went viral. 2 days later, Nesson aired it, like their version of what happened, and they edited out all the boos for John Henry, but kept in the boos for Chaim Bloom.
Well,
like that's it. Like,
I didn't know they kept the boos in for him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, if they would have cut out all the boos for everyone, I'd have been like, okay, well, that's state TV. But then that was just like, it's not my fault. Blame this moron.
Maybe they were saying Bloom.
Yes, that's right. They were all in on Chaim
Bloom. To advance my idea from yesterday that David Ortiz should speak for the team. Why doesn't John Henry speak with David Ortiz beside him? Like, take David around, and Pedro maybe, and talk to the media, but just have, if you run into any trouble, they'll just step in for you.
Pedro, you know, let me, what John's trying to say
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Everybody, nobody would have a problem with that. You can't that call awesome. Out Big Poppy.
Yeah.
Maybe John Henry should interview John Henry.
I just remember back in the day when Larry Lucchino used to cut off Tom Werner and John Henry when they would start saying something stupid.
Yeah.
Like, Lucchino was just like, he would just cut him right off. Yeah, it was like, you know, John Henry would be like, you know, our fans don't understand life and what it's like to struggle. And hey, you know, listen, these Red Sox, and he would jump in. And then Tom Werner would be like, I like hot dogs. And he'd go, all right, I got this. And he would jump on in. He was like Harpo over there. God, I miss those days. I do miss those days. Rest in peace there, Larry Lucchino. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to some of this A.J. Brown stuff. Once again.
Oh, by the way, do we have Ted's adjusted record for this year, or do you need one more day on that?
Just give me one more day on
okay,
that.
Okay, one more day.
Okay, adjusted record, and also we have a little bit of controversy as to whether or not this Patriots team is going to go all in and set the market with Christian Gonzalez. Does that mean that he might not be long for this team? I tell you what, I'm starting to come around on what Ted thinks on this. I thought it was going to be a definite. I thought they absolutely were going to sign this guy. But Ted brings up some good points. I'm starting to see his side. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I mean, I think I knew that just from the time that he, you know. Like, I think when we drafted him, he was like, I wish the Patriots drafted me. And I said, well, that didn't happen. You know, the Titans drafted you.
That's great.
Hey, there's value in that too, man.
Yep.
You're drafting a guy that wanted to come here, you know, from the very beginning. To me, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, did you overpay? Yeah, sure. You know, but it wasn't an obscene overpay. And you're getting a guy that's always wanted to play for your franchise. The linebacker from the Rams got traded to the Browns in that Myles Garrett trade.
Yeah.
Curse. He's not happy. He got traded. The last place he wants to be to is Cleveland. In Cleveland right now.
Oh, sure.
Nice in Cleveland. This time of year is perfect.
Please.
Right by the lake.
No, thank you.
But whenever you Rock make trades, Hall? I would want to know that player has no problem coming to my team before I make a trade for him.
Absolutely.
Now, Ted, did you hear the great question yesterday by a Mass Live reporter of what about when the magic subsides and
the magic of being a Patriot?
The magic of being a Patriot wears off. Then what? Then what are you? What's going to make you happy?
I just love that. When the magic of being a Patriot wears off. Yeah, that's what we
that's how it was phrased.
Yeah,
yeah. It was great. It made me laugh. All right, we have to talk about this.
Being a Patriot wears off.
When the magic of being a Patriot wears off, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson, and it's 93.7 WEEI. We're down at Fenway Park right now in the Fenway Park Clubhouse Studio. Ford, brought to you by Ford, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay for what we pay. The official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. We do have to mention this because earlier in the show, we were talking about Theo Epstein, and Theo Epstein had made a comment in that article. He actually didn't make it for the article. He was on a podcast recently, and I forget the name of it.
It's Foul Territory, and Carl Ravage, I think, was the host.
Okay.
It's like the Dugout Dirt podcast or something like that. Too many podcast names these days.
Way too many.
And there was a great comment that he made that I actually asked Chad Tracy about, and it was essentially a criticism of Craig Breslow and the way that he did things. He said that he was saying that there's been too much reliance on analytics and not as much on the people. And really, and the quote was, what really makes a person tick as a player has become a lost art.
That's insane to me. Like, I don't think he meant to like target Breslow. Maybe he did. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for him, but that to me is like, it's a lost art speaking to humans.
Yeah.
One human talking to another human is a lost art.
Well, I said this yesterday, Ted, is that I believe it's because these people who run teams have become lazy. They are not putting in the work. They've become over-reliant on AI and computers and statistics that are shot out at them. True. It's an algorithm. And that article said it perfectly. They're like, in their algorithm, it was like you couldn't get a player that's over the age of 30 that can only play one position, that can't play more than one position. And Kyle Schwarber is one of those guys, right. And they missed out on him because of that. Because they rely on a computer, and they instead, a normal person, someone who puts in the work, gets to know the player and be like, man, Schwarber's the exact kind of guy that we need right now.
Yeah, that's like looking at it, you know, beyond the data. The data doesn't tell you how what a veteran impact guy can have on a younger guy. Or just what his accomplishments can mean to other guys and how he can raise just the ceiling of other players. Tom Brady didn't play defense. He made us a better defense. If you understand the psychology and emotions of athletes, you can tap into that and use the data also to help you. But you need to understand how athletes and human beings think when you're putting a roster together.
So that's a pretty great quote, and it was a fairly damning quote. And we were sitting here saying, you know what, it'd be cool if we talked to Theo Epstein. And I was like, you know what, we have a brand new intern. His name is Noah. He just started here. And I got to be honest, you know, it's not just the radio industry. It's not just broadcasting. It's almost any industry. If you want to get into a company, one of the best ways to do it, and truly one of the only ways to do it nowadays, is you got to intern. Mm-hmm. Because almost all these companies now hire from within. And so that's whenever I see like an intern come in, I don't want them to be a face in the hallway. I want to actually see what they can do. So I threw this challenge out to our own Noah. Noah, is your mic work over there? Okay. I said, Noah, if you by 5:30 can get Theo Epstein on the phone with us, I'm going to get you a steak dinner at Grill 23. I'm going to get you a gift certificate. And Noah, unlike, you know, some other people, not anyone in particular, but sometimes, you know, you would have an intern that just go like, oh yeah, I wouldn't even take it seriously. Noah's over there, and I watched him in the corner, kind of the corner of the room here. He was making phone calls. He was doing all this stuff. And Noah, what did you just tell us last break?
I was able to get his number. I sent him a text politely asking if he'd call into the show. He politely declined.
Okay. How about that? You got right, a hold.
Good job, buddy.
Theo Epstein.
Good job.
How great is that? Like, it took
him to text back.
It took him an hour and a half to not only track down Theo Epstein, but to get his phone number and to get a nice off-the-record text back that was just, it was very polite. But, you know, he got back to him and said that, you know, I would definitely talk to you guys, you know, at some point. But right now, just doesn't seem to be the time. And how about that? Because it's just putting it to work.
I'm impressed.
You are going to have a long career if this is what you choose. That was awesome.
He'll impress Will Fleming. He's sitting beside Will tonight in the booth. He's tonight's booth instern. So
okay.
You show him the text.
Represent,
that's instant cred.
Yeah.
Is Coop going to be there?
No, we got Lenny DiNardo tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Cooper's not going to be
there. Maybe not
okay,
Grill 23, Rich, but I think he at least deserves the nines.
We're
on it, buddy.
We're on it. As a matter of fact, let's see if we can get 110 Grill. Can we do like
a
110
Grill?
There's a great restaurant called the 110 Grill. We're going to get you a gift certificate to that. All right.
Appreciate it.
Okay, that was badass. Good and job. You know what? As I said, Noah, you anytime you feel you want to do something and surprise us for the show, we'll take it. Absolutely. I love that.
The word is initiative.
Yes,
you got any initiative, you're going to stand out amongst all the other.
Well, this guy came in from the West Coast. He knows nobody in Boston. He's subleasing a room in Alston. He like walks to the station without transportation. So Noah's a killer.
Were you raised over here, like around here?
No, Seattle.
Okay, so how did you find this gig?
LinkedIn. I applied for like over 100 internships this summer.
Badass. And you ended up getting, and you said, I don't care if it's in Boston, I'm coming out to Boston by myself.
They were all over the country and got this one.
All right. Hey, man. Awesome. Okay.
That's good. Right there.
What have you learned so far from working at the station? What have you learned about each one of us?
Everyone's great. Great to work with.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Some of us can be.
It's very entertaining. I will say that.
He told me your Vegas story was way too long.
At least he didn't pivot.
He loves my pivots.
Tell me something we don't know about Ken. What do you like about Ken over here?
So far, he has showed me the ropes very well, and he's doing a great job.
Thank you.
He's a good rapper.
Yeah.
I love the rapping.
He's a decent rapper. How about Teddy J? What have you learned about Ted so far?
He won 3 Super Bowls.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
How did you know that?
All you need to know. He gets reminded of that every day.
And Rich, you told me, what about being a psycho? What was the code you used?
Nothing.
Okay. I'll take any kind of... Listen, it's only true. All right. Well, great stuff, Noah. That was awesome. That was very impressive. All right. 617-779-7937. It was interesting because, as I said, to me, it was a done deal. If you would have asked me yesterday whether or not the Patriots are going to set the market with Christian Gonzalez, I would have said absolutely. I saw what happened at that celebrity softball game. He's palling around with everyone. Everyone seems to love him there. He's in a good mood. Even Vrabel. I'm sorry, it wasn't Vrabel. It was Elliot Wolf, who in that interview said something along the lines of this being a priority.
Yeah, Elliot Wolf to Yahoo Sports. Yep, priority.
Yeah, getting things done. But then Ted, who I think was on my side a couple of days ago, all of a sudden – has done the Ken Laird pivot and has gone in a completely different direction, right?
I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I just, man, when's the last time the Patriots have done a contract 2 years before they needed to with a first-round draft pick? And they haven't done a second contract at all, let alone a 2 years before they needed to, since Dont'a Hightower. Dont'a was their first-rounder in 2012. They re-signed him to an extension a year before it was up in 2017. And those were the two contracts that he played on. But that was in 2017. So every other first-rounder that came after Dont'a signed in 2013 and after never got a extension, let alone a second contract. So this isn't what they do. I mean, my guess is that when the new CBA was renegotiated back in 2011, they made that fifth year that for anybody drafted in the first round, they could do a fifth round, fifth year option on them.
Yeah.
That was the new rule, so that it protected teams against what they're about to face here with, I think, Christian Gonzalez. So they get them a little bit longer, and I just don't think the Patriots want to break the bank with Christian Gonzalez.
Well, you say it's not what they do, but is it? It's not what Belichick did.
Belichick and Kraft were very much in line in how they spent money. They loved the fact that they won. Part of what they don't want to say this, but what they love is that they won Super Bowls with spending the least amount of cash over their time that they won. So think about that. They spent the least amount of cash for their players and won all those Super Bowls.
They also had a unicorn that made it so they could do that.
That's very true. And they might think they have their second coming of a unicorn with Drake May, and that they can afford to play hardball with players because they got, I think, a special player at quarterback.
Ooh, that is a dangerous game.
Oh, so you think they might go that route? Like, you need the Patriots discount. I guess my question is there a football reason? Like, is corner less important now than when Ty Law was on your team?
There's some truth to that. Yeah, I think so. I think teams are playing less man to man than they have. I don't think that is as, you know, the edge rusher. If you have a dominant edge rusher, then you don't have to maybe pay a cornerback as much because you get pressure without having a blitz. When you have an elite corner like you have in Christian Gonzalez, you can afford to blitz more. So that you can't do that if you can't get a pass rush, you have to blitz more, puts more stress on the secondary. So the Patriots right now don't have a dominant pass rusher. So they need Christian Gonzalez on this team. This isn't a team that is better defense without him. You saw the numbers DVOA-wise when he was injured versus when he was on the field. They're night and day. He makes it and they can, get it out of the way. Maybe can you get two first-round draft picks? If it would change your mind if I said they think they can get two first-round draft picks?
That does help. And that was the thing that made me kind of start leaning your way, is that if it's two first-rounders and they can make a move for Kayvon Thibodeau to at least help with the defense, I might be 100% on your side. Like, if you can get ourselves a real edge rusher here.
Especially after the season, and then you can draft a corner in next year's draft high to replace him right away.
Here's the thing. Do you think Christian Gonzalez will show up for any practices when he does without having a new deal?
Nope.
Hold in. Not. I think he shows up but doesn't practice.
Okay. And you saw how that's gone in the past. I mean, we've had who was the edge rusher from that went to Atlanta?
Oh yeah, from the Ravens.
You know, that he
Belichick.
He did a hold in. That was under Mayo, and it was awkward.
Well, that was under Mayo. Yeah, you're right.
You know, so I don't know. I just don't think Kristen's gonna. Yeah, Matthew Judon. Thank you. I don't think he's gonna blink. And so the Patriots haven't done a deal like this in forever.
Yeah.
So I don't feel confident they're gonna do it this time.
Well, it is an absolutely beautiful day down here at Fenway, and Chad Tracy, not a very good ending last night. This has been a very strange stretch here at Fenway Park. They have yet to win double digit games. We will talk to Chad Tracy. We are not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back with the interim manager of your Boston Red Sox.